Hi, it's Jeff. Welcome to track 4 in this masterclass for surviving our sewer society. And in this track, we're going deep into the time prison, where we're going to talk about the ways that our time has been enslaved and do a little bit of swimming through the sewers, navigating the sewer traps, and setting our time more free. Now, this is a track that I've really been looking forward to, because it really is the crux of this entire prison system, almost as much as the final track we're going to get to, The Prison for Your Mind. The time prison really brings together the last two prisons, the work prison and the financial prison. As we covered in the key framework, the WMT, work, money, time, really this triangle of how our time has been enslaved in the work and financial prisons is only the obvious part of the time prison. And in this track, we're going to dive into much deeper paradigms. Because time is where it's really at, isn't it? Right? What is our life but time? Literally, all we have is time. But how many of us are using our time for what truly matters in our lives? We talk about time management like it's a thing. It's having a do-now list and being organized and having hacks and tips for shutting down your email and whatnot. But what is life but time? And what matters more in our lives than how we manage every moment of our time? And how many of us are having the time of our lives? How many of us are deploying our time and living the lives we truly want? How many of us feel free to use our time in ways that we choose? Some 2/3 of people disengaged in their jobs. Oh, it's okay. It's only 45 years of your life. It's only 5 out of 7 days a week. The majority of us, the majority of our lives, the majority of our time, stuck in jobs we don't want to be doing. And we're the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones. We're the ones who have jobs. On the grandest scale of humanity, we are the lucky ones. With more choice, more high quality uses of our time. That's us. Do we feel this way? Waking up in the morning, popping our little pills just to get through the day. How many of us wake up looking forward to these days of ours, to loving the time of our lives? At night, drinking away our worries. Just got to sedate our minds, numb the pain, so that we can get to sleep at night. Waking up the next day to do it all again. So many of us just desperately hoping that we can live long enough to retire, and that we can somehow save enough money to actually enjoy the time of our lives in retirement. In our 60s and 70s, this is when we get to enjoy the time of our lives. This is what we're all working towards. That's when you get to be free. This is the time prison. And what are we left with in our society? A series of escapes. We get to numb the boredom with TV and sport and social and internet. Numb our pain with alcohol and drugs. Online, porn, every other distraction and addiction. Is this what we're here to be? At age 17, if people sit back and say, "This is the purpose of my life, to watch a lot of TV, to attend every sports game, to surf the web hours a day, to be all over my email, This is what our time has been sucked into. How many of us have discovered a deeper purpose in life and are living it? And how many of us are even living the moments of our lives? How much time do we spend with our families? And when we're with them, are we even there? How much time are we truly present? How many people are with their kids, with their spouses, on their little devices, reading news about stuff happening elsewhere? Anxious, fearful, checking email, themselves pulled into the reality of other people somewhere. How many of us can even escape that thinking mind? So, instead of thinking about the future or the past, we're actually in the now, in the present moment. We have all these platitudes in our society. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. You can go to LinkedIn and Facebook and see tons of people write about this. You can distract yourself with blogs and podcasts and have tons of people talking about this. Be present. Yet how many of us are present even 1 minute a day? How many of us want more time in our lives? We so desperately fear dying. Yet how many of us are even living one single day where we're here right now, fully indulging our time, fully immersed in our time? And what is this life about but time? Seconds, minutes, hours, days, months, years, decades. How many of us are living the days of our lives? I laugh whenever I use that phrase for obvious reasons. See, in our society, we talk a lot about money rich and money poor. But how often do we talk about being time rich and time poor? What does it mean to be time rich? What does it mean to use your time richly? To deploy your time in ways that make your life rich? To deploy your time in what truly matters to you? To live in this moment? To be focused on things with great purpose? What does it mean for you to be time rich? And what does it mean to be time poor? It's everywhere, isn't it? So many of us feel like we lack time. Like there's never enough time to do the things that we want to be doing. Yeah, that's the illusion. How can we lack time when time is all there is? It's like saying we lack oxygen, when really what we're saying is we lack consciousness. When consciousness is all there is, and time is all there is, how consciously are we choosing the way we use our time? So much of our time is consumed in the things we think we need to do. And it's true, there are so many constraints on our time that we don't choose. If you have a job and a family, where do you find time to be a great parent, to be great in your job, that consumes most of your days and nights? So how do you make this the time of your life? A lot of what traps us in time and makes us time poor is the prison of the mind. Not how we're using our time, but how we perceive our time. And as we'll talk about in the sewers for our time, our thinking and emotional energy is what most drains our time. And that's only part of it. It's how our mind and our emotions get pulled into the physical sewers in our society. So many of us say we don't have enough time. We feel so time poor. But how much of our time is pulled into the junk sewers in our society? How many people reach the end of their lives saying, I wish I'd read more newspapers. I wish I'd been more up to speed on the news. The news is disposable information that comes and goes every day. Yet, how many hours do people sink into this sewer for their time? People tell me all the time they're so time poor and they wish they had more time to read. But they're reading all day, every day. Mostly junk. Junk news. Junk social media. Junk blogs. Junk emails. We're so time poor because our time gets washed down the sewers. Who are those people watching hours of TV a night? See, many people scoff them, yet somebody's doing it. And the people who scoff them, how many of those people are spending hours a day looking at their little screens? On average, people get done 3.5 hours work a day. So what happens to all the other hours? How many of those hours get pulled into the sewers of the mind, into distraction, avoidance, resisting, junk news, junk information, junk people stealing your time? Indeed, so many of us are time poor. Yet what are we doing to rescue our time? How do we take back our time? How do we see the sewers in our society for what they are? The prison of time that we're born into, and set ourselves more free. One secret to this is to recognize it's not about time at all. It's about energy. It's about human energy. The most precious resource on the planet. Who is using this human energy? And what are they using it for? There's a scene in The Matrix where Morpheus holds up a battery and talks to Neo about the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. You're a slave. Not for your time. The time is just what's measured by the clock. But for the energy that's being sucked into that time. And when you begin to see this is about energy and emotion, you begin to see how we get sucked into the sewers in our society, wasting the time of your life. In this masterclass, we're going to talk about the keys to unlocking the time prison, how you navigate the sewer traps to not just escape, but to set free your time, to focus on what matters most to you, to shift your time to your highest value uses, to your purpose, unleashing yourself for living your destiny. In this track, there's 3 levels to the way we're going to be talking about time. Level 1 is the practical level. This I think of as the basics, basically all the stuff on time management. How do you prioritize your time? How do you get beyond resistance, procrastination? How do you organize your day? How do you hone in on what truly matters and focus? This is the absolute most fundamental level of getting good with your time, and we're not going to be going through this. Instead, in track 7, we're including for you my system for unleashing your time, which is from another masterclass, the masterclass on the system for winning. In that track, I go through the fundamentals of organizing your day and honing in on the way you use your time. We're giving this to you as an appendix so that in this track, we can focus on higher level ideas as it relates to your time. Level 2 that we're going to be covering are the sewer traps and how you navigate them. Here we cover 2 mental traps, thinking and feeling, and two physical traps, distraction and something very practical that plagues so many of us, but it's very subtle, that we keep ourselves so busy. And many of us are so terrified of being alone that we never make the time to focus on the deeper purposes of our lives and hone in on what truly matters. This leads us into level 3 of this track, where we talk about what I perceive this entire game of life to be about: purpose, and how you allocate your time to your highest purposes. Here we'll talk about two key frameworks. One, the three definitions of freedom. And two, the five levels of human thinking. How you keep allocating more of your time to focus on higher level topics, to evolve your thinking in this lifetime. Alrighty, so let's hit level 1. And take our first step, escaping from the time prison. As I said earlier, level 1 is the real nuts and bolts, the practical of how you use your time. And I certainly don't frame it this way to minimize this topic. These practical fundamentals are what matter most to all the topics we've talked about in this masterclass. How do you break out of the work prison? How do you set yourself financially free? You do this by taking your time and putting it to where it truly matters. Come back to what we talked about in the work prison. You set yourself free by crushing your current job. This comes down to how good you are at shifting your time to what's truly valued. It's about prioritizing your time and getting more yield from your time. For instance, if you're walking into a meeting, how good are you at winning that meeting? How good are you at optimizing every opportunity because you've put your time into becoming highly skilled? Time as well as how you allocate your time in that roadmap we talked about. Looking ahead in the future, creating other opportunities. How do you shift your time so you can crush your current job and focus on creating other opportunities? This too is of course core to the financial prison. How do you make more money? How do you shift more of your time to higher value tasks? And how do you avoid your time getting sucked into those financial sewers, like consumption, and wasting your money on useless things because you're bored, versus buying those things that give you great utility? How much time do people waste on investment topics? For instance, and I'll make a blanket statement, nobody should be buying stocks. Nobody should be reading analyst reports on buying stocks. It's a complete waste of time. You can do better just by buying an index fund and never thinking about it. And it's here in this level 1, these fundamentals, the basics of time, that you get clear on your priorities and how you best shift your time here. I am most certainly not minimizing this topic as basic. The reason I'm sharing with you an entirely separate track on my system for unleashing your time is that this matters most to getting focused, to using your time every day, honing in on what truly matters, and getting highly skilled at the way you shift your time here. In that track, you'll also hear me talk about time and energy, how you're navigating the mind to allocate your priorities, but also to get beyond those things that keep us stuck: resistance, procrastination, avoidance. How specifically do you best organize your days for honing in on what truly matters and unleashing your time. An article on my website that consistently gets hit is How We Focus and Stop Wasting Our Time. In that article, I talk about the fact that we all know this. We all know focus is important. We all know those things that really matter to us, our so-called priorities. But we also know it can be very hard to put our time here, and easy to get dragged into the time sewers that waste our time. In track 7, The System for Unleashing Your Time, we go into this in detail. And for now, I will say, it comes back to three things. One, where you put your time, how good you are at prioritizing your time, and then putting it there. Two, the yield on your time, meaning, once you've put your time here, how good are you at wringing the value out? Three, the present moment. See, put these three steps together. You're focused on what matters. You're excellent at wringing out the most value in that time. And three, you're fully absorbed. Ideally, you're in the flow state, which is what the system for unleashing your time is built to do. Not just prioritize, but to live in the flow. All day, every day, just rocking and rolling. Absorbed, flowing from your highest priority to your next. Truly, unleashing your peak performance and peak happiness all day, every day. As you work through the system for unleashing your time, you'll see it's easy to begin putting to work right away. Doesn't require all those stupid books on time management or reading thousands of productivity tips. It requires getting highly systematic at the way you organize your day and become deeply immersed in how you're using your time. And you should see there are four keys that unlock benefits for you here. One, you stop wasting time thinking about stuff that doesn't matter to your day. You get so much better at blocking that stuff out and getting into the present moment for living this day right now. Two, it helps you get focused on what matters. Not just to think about what matters, but to lay it out in a very simple schedule to get absorbed in what matters. Three, you'll find just putting this system to work, more and more you're in the flow state. Again, you're getting beyond the distractions, beyond the resistance, beyond the avoidance that holds so many of us back, and just getting absorbed in your highest value tasks. Four, by definition, you're getting much more yield from your day. Because you're absorbed more, you're focused more. You are literally wringing out more and more value in every minute, every day. And as we've talked about, this is what matters most to setting yourself free from the work prison, from the financial prison. This is what the system for unleashing your time is built to do for you. And again, as I said, this is level one, this is practical, these are the basics, the fundamentals. Yet the basics matter so much. As one of my partners and my shooting trainer, retired Navy SEAL, says, the best do the basics better. And the better you can hone in on these basics for allocating your time, the better every day will be for you. The more and more you're already broken out of the time prison. And the more and more you're getting the WMT, the work, money, time triangle, working for you. So that's level one. And I encourage you to go through the system for unleashing your time in detail. And you'll see it's in the workbook. Also at the end of the track, when we talk about exercises, this is one of them. Because the more you can get this right, the more you can hone in on level 2 and level 3. And you'll see as we hit level 2 now, some of the topics around the prisons and the sewers, that these are already covered in the system for unleashing your time. Because it's built to break you out of the time prison. And it's built from my years of having to navigate the sewer traps, getting stuck in them myself, seeing others stuck in them, designing a highly systematic approach to free more of your time. So what are these sewer traps? What are the keys to unlocking more of your time? As I said earlier, there are four that we're going to be talking about. The first two are mental, thinking and feeling. The second two are physical. The sewer traps of distractions. And the very practical of being so busy, we rarely have enough time. So what is this first sewer trap of thinking? The number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 through infinity sewer trap for our time is that thinking mind. And I can't even go into the depth of what I mean by this because I can't even convey it, even in audio. And we'll of course talk about the prison for the mind in the next track. But I simply can't convey how much our lives are dominated by that thinking mind. And what even is it? What is the thinking mind? This machine in our heads that's circulating some 70,000 mostly redundant, mostly negative thoughts every day, consuming so much of our energy, consuming so much of our time. It's said that an hour of thinking is the equivalent to 10 minutes of kickboxing. By that I mean real kickboxing, in a ring, 3 rounds with a pro. How much energy does that take? That's what the thinking mind is doing all day, every day to us. The thinking mind is so nefarious that the best answer the most evolved humans on the planet have, the Easterns, is to escape it. To sit legs crossed in a cave and escape that mind. They don't even want to participate in the world because they know it's a construct of that mind. All day, every day, cycling thoughts that we think are our own. Let's be clear, none of the thoughts in that head are our own. They were put there by someone else, programmed by our society, conditioned, part of our biology. All day, every day, people walk around saying, I think this, I think that. Who thinks it? Who do they think gave them those opinions? Religious people, who do they think gave them those thoughts? Democrats, Republicans, who do they think conditioned those thoughts in them? All of us humans have so many opinions on things and we think they're our own. How do we reach those opinions? Who put them there? All day, every day, expressing our opinions like they're novel. Like somehow because they're in our head, they're material to the world. On Wall Street, the same conversations all day, every day. Where do you think the markets are headed? Where do you think the economy's going? Of the millions of people who think about these topics, there's only a binary choice. Are the markets going up or down? Yet they spend all day thinking about it. Like somehow that thinking mind of theirs is going to reach some unique insight. It's a redundant machine. It can only think about what it's been conditioned to think about. The thinking mind is principally the problem that pulls us into the sewer trap of the media. Again, same thing. All day, every day, people expressing their opinion on what? Politics? Thinking they have any idea what's going on. because someone spoon-fed it to them in the media, thinking they have some insight because their brain is farting. This thinking mind, folks, is the worst sewer trap for our time. Because we constantly get pulled into it. Constantly thinking about tomorrow or yesterday or something that is outside of our time right now. If you are thinking about anything else right now, you're no longer present in this time. So which time are you ever present in? Which time do you ever live? If you're along for the ride of that thinking mind. How many of us go home at night and spend time with our spouses, our lovers, our kids? We might be with them physically, but are we with them in our mind? Are all of us in our own little world, thinking about something other than where we are right now? How many days do we actually live? Which day are we living? Yesterday or tomorrow? Which day are we ever living? Again, we say life is a journey, but how many of us are in the journey of today? How many of us are taking a road trip, enjoying the road, enjoying where we're at right now? Or are we stuck in the sewer trap of that thinking mind? That can never be present. It can only ever be computing. Like the engine of a car, constantly turning. Our job isn't to make that mind present. We're the driver. Our job is sitting behind the wheel and being present, despite its whirling and its noise. The sewer trap of thinking, stealing more time on the planet than every other waste of time, media, social network, ever combined. In the history of the planet, ever. The only thing that pulls us into all these sewer traps is the thinking mind. As I was going deep into the thinking mind some 10 years ago, I kept getting this instruction, stop thinking, stop thinking. And I'd write it on my desk. Pasted on my wall, stop thinking, stop thinking. And I didn't know how to do it, but I knew it was the cure to the human condition. And the cure to where I found myself stuck in my mind, trying to write a book, thinking about the enormity of the task, worried about where all this was headed. Stuck in that thinking mind, the only cure, stop thinking. But you can't stop thinking, can you? What you do instead is become so absorbed in what you're doing. So immersed in this present moment. So in the flow of the now that you pull your awareness beyond that thinking mind. It's the ultimate key to the ultimate prison of the mind. This thing between our ears is the most powerful device on the planet. So powerful we don't even know how it works. It can either be the greatest sewer trap for our minds or the greatest key to set us free. And the same is true for the second sewer trap, the second key, the feeling body. The feeling body is what we are. Our emotions are what we are. The energy pulsating through us is what it means to be alive. When you look at someone die, you see the life drain out of those eyes, don't you? That's the energy. I said earlier, we are batteries connected to the life force called consciousness. And this isn't a game of time, it's a game of energy. The energy pulsing through your body lighting up the electrical circuits in that thinking mind, is what we are. In its most beautiful perfection. This body we're born into. The most perfect thing a creator could have made, or a species could have evolved into at this point in time. Yet, a feeling body that's easily manipulated, easily corrupted. For our greatest strength as a species is that we feel. We feel so deeply. We feel for ourselves, we feel for others. We feel pain, we feel joy. The greatest key to being human is the feeling body. Yet, it's also a great sewer trap in how it manipulates the way we use our time. See, and you'll hear me talk about this in the appendix track. Unleashing your time isn't about organization. It's not about thinking. You must first begin to see that time is an emotional topic. We use our time according to emotion. See, the number one rule in getting yourself to write is that write is right. If writers wait until they feel like writing, they will write very little. Instead, they write and use the momentum of writing to pull the feelings into writing. Think about all the emotions that manipulate you into wasting time. What emotions lead us to watch TV? Boredom. Maybe a craving for murder and drama, because that's what we're conditioned to be. What feelings lead people to social networks? Joy? Playfulness? Or is it loneliness and boredom? What feelings lead us to procrastinate? To resist focusing on what truly matters? To avoid those things that feel hard to us? What feelings lead us to be manipulated by our society, pulled into the sewers for wasting our time? This is a true depth of evil on the planet. The depth of evil on this planet is the way that we are all manipulated for our emotions into wasting our time. What emotions is the nightly news preying on to draw you in, to sucker you into their junk so they can sell your attention for advertising? What emotions are advertisers preying on? Your sense of vulnerability, your feeling of lack, your need for something else to feel full. What emotion do those evil social networks prey on? To give you that fake dopamine hit for someone liking something you posted. To waste your time. To go on there and give them your attention that they sell to advertisers. So you can look at the photo of someone else's food. Or a cat video. Who manipulates your emotions so you read the daily news all day, every day, online, talking about the latest drama of the day? The politicians manipulating you with fear so you vote for them, so you pay attention to whatever they're selling. The greatest evil on the planet is the sewer trap. The way we are manipulated by these platforms to piss away our time. So many fucking people argue with me on this. Well, isn't it important to be informed? Well, why aren't you on social? It's a great way to be connected. How many fucking people get to the end of their lives and so they wish they'd spent more time on social media. How many fucking people get to the end of their lives and so they wish they'd spent more time reading the news? Is this the deepest purpose in life? Or have we been manipulated by the feeling body, by others who understand exactly what we are? And how easily manipulated we are by our emotions. To burn our energy, to burn our time for them. And only we can learn to take back our time. Only we can put these two mental keys together and see the thinking mind and the feeling body are the only things we will ever have. This moment in time is all we will ever experience in the feeling body and the thinking mind. This is the entirety of your life right here. And only we can decide to take back our time. Now, here in this second sewer, we've really been hitting on the third as well. And the third sewer and the third key for setting your time free is distraction. What I mean by this is that our society is a menagerie of distraction, a plethora of addiction. A society that talks about focus and the importance of focus, but constantly in every single way possible bombards you with distraction. TV itself, which is obviously a total waste of time, a total distraction, is a distraction from a distraction. With the TV commercials interrupting the programming, that's distraction. And then on channels like CNBC, the ticker running along the bottom, it's impossible to focus in our world. The online world, which is obviously an entire sewer of distraction. We talk about the internet like it's some pinnacle of human innovation, yet all the top websites are porn. Literally, the top websites that we surf to are porn and news. We don't need to establish any more that news is mostly fake news, is propaganda, is there to pull on your emotions, to consume that thinking mind. And when you're online, what is that but distraction after distraction? You go to a news website, what do you see? Stuff bouncing around in your face, a link to go over here, stuff running down the side, pop-up ads everywhere. Our entire world serves you distraction. Taking advantage of our emotions, our boredom, our need for novelty. Everywhere you look in our society, there are distractions. Even look at these phones of ours. These are supposedly meant to set us free. How many of us are more free with our devices? Now we can be distracted everywhere we are. We can be sitting with someone and get a phone call anytime, anywhere. And of course, we can constantly distract ourselves thinking about email. And of course, we can have app after app after app. So you can constantly have notifications popping up on your phone, distracting you every minute, every day. In Level 1, we talked about the very basics, the fundamentals of getting your time right. And so much of this is about how good you can become at training yourself to avoid distraction. What is time management but focus and prioritization? And the absolute key here, we hit in sewer number 1, stop thinking. In sewer number 2, stop your emotions pulling you into all this distraction. And here in Sewer 3, we're talking about all the ways we piss away our lives in all these useless distractions. And I know I sound like a fucking jerk on some of these topics, yet again, I challenge anyone who gets to the end of their life and wishes They spend more time watching TV. Regrets. They didn't spend more time on social media. Regrets. They didn't spend more time masturbating to porn or surfing the web. How many people wake up after a morning of drinking and regret they didn't drink more? So many of these distractions in our society only handicap us. Ask yourself, are we really social animals? Do we really enjoy socializing? If we do, why do we have to drink to do it? Really challenge yourself with this question. If we enjoy being social with other people, how many times are you social without alcohol? Isn't it true that nearly every definition of being social, from sport to bars to barbecues to cocktail parties to dinners, involves getting drunk? Are we really social people? Or are we just seeking distraction? From what? The thinking mind. And this is sewer number four. What are we really seeking distraction from? Ourselves. See, I'm not convinced that we're social animals. As much as so many of us just can't stand being alone. We don't talk about it. It's implied in our society. Yet how many people are truly okay on their own? Let alone love being on their own. And this is the fourth sewer trap and the fourth key. And only we can be honest with ourselves. But the sewer trap is that we keep ourselves so busy, so occupied, so distracted, to avoid the thing that we hate the most, being alone with our thoughts. We seem to do everything we can to stay occupied, to stay busy, to stay distracted, to work longer hours, to chase money, success, to go to sports, to watch sports, to turn on the TV, to watch a movie, to get online, to, of course, masturbate to our porn. Because how many of us are truly good on our own, having idle time, just sitting there with that mind, in that feeling body? This is perhaps the greatest sewer trap of all. It sucks all of our time into mostly low-value shit because we're unwilling and unable to be on our own. And the key here, the reason this matters, is what we're getting to in level three of this track. That you can never evolve in this lifetime. You can never find the time to contemplate real, true purpose in your life. As long as you're constantly whirling around distracted by other things. Think about the sewer traps we've covered. That thinking mind. Cycling some 70,000 mostly negative, mostly redundant thoughts every day. How much time does that give you to think about things that deeply matter? The feeling body. Given that thinking mind is mostly cycling, mostly negative thoughts every day, guess what that means about the feelings most of us experience most days? They're mostly negative. I'm not talking about happiness here. Not talking about positive thinking. And there's so much bullshit in our society about how we really feel. And only you can know, how many days do you feel a 10 out of 10? How many days do you feel truly amazing? And when you're feeling truly amazing, do you want to turn on the TV? Do you want to go to social media and see what other people are doing? The sewer traps in our society take advantage of the fact that so few of us feel how we want to feel. Sewer trap number three satisfies us, all the distractions. Sewer trap number four We are so busy in the day-to-day. So busy focusing on the mundane that so few of us will ever elevate in life, will ever find the time to focus on those things that deeply matter, to hone in on our purpose, to develop a deep sense of mission for our lives. This leads us into level 3 in this track, purpose, and allocating more of the time of your life to what truly matters. Not like level 1, where you're allocating to the very practical, basics, fundamentals of what truly matters to getting through your day. At level 3, it's how much of your time and energy are you allocating to topics of deep purpose and deep meaning. Because if we spend our entire lives, most of the days of our lives, stuck in the basic topics, when do we ever get to truly explore our destiny? And I don't know what the purpose of life is. Maybe the purpose of life is to be working away in jobs that so many of us hate, just to satisfy the WMT. Work, money, time, that's the whole game. Using all the time in our lives to make money, to one day perhaps retire. Even at the top of our society, people are stuck in this WMT. Someone like Warren Buffett, with all the money he's got, still focused on making more money. Is there no higher purpose in life than stacking up paper, stacking up chips? I don't know. Who am I to know? I'm certainly not one to judge. What the fuck do I know? But I do know that when you make time to contemplate these questions, you can find higher purpose answers. Maybe the purpose is to raise our kids, go to church, watch sports, turn on the TV, go down to the shopping mall. Maybe we're here for our basic necessities. Maybe the purpose is to escape the 9-to-5, to vagabond around the world, seeing the sights, taking photos, posting them on Facebook, hoping people like them, satisfying the most basic needs, eating food. Fueling the machine. Maybe this is what our lives are about. Who am I to know? Maybe the entire purpose of life is to find as many escapes as we can, to hate our jobs and whine about it, and go out and drink 6 beers and feel better, till we wake up in the morning and do it all again, finding new ways to numb the pain. Maybe it's to pop our pills, pick ourselves up for the day, feed our kids speed so they can get through school and win to get the jobs that so many of their parents hate. Maybe the purpose is to tune into our news, our little social media, to like photos that our friends took of their food, to argue with other people we call so-called friends. Maybe the purpose in life is like the Buddhists, to escape the world and escape the mind. To wear your little robes and pretend you're on a unique path, claiming to be enlightened, hiding behind the walls of your monastery. Maybe that's purpose in life. I don't know. What I do know is that for 20 years of doing this work, I've sought to keep elevating my thinking, to keep getting beyond the basic paradigms of human thought and to evolve more and more purpose. And this is encapsulated in one of my key frameworks called the 5 levels of human thinking, which is really about 5 levels of evolving your thinking. Before we get to that, I want to share with you another key framework called The Three Definitions of Freedom. And I'm only going to share it with you briefly here, because we're going to pick it up in the next track, on The Prison for Your Mind. So here it is in summary. When I was a kid, growing up without money, I thought, when I had money, then I would be more free. That led me to work a lot of part-time jobs, to get serious about school, leading me all the way to Wall Street. That was my first definition of freedom. When you have money, you're free. But on Wall Street, I learned my second definition of freedom. I was making good money. But I stepped back from my career and drew up this chart of my life, looking at the tiny sliver labeled not work, I asked myself, if you've got money but no time, can you be free? I liked what I did, but I didn't love it. I didn't live for it. Can you be free if you're using your time doing something that you don't live for? My second definition, when you got time and money, then you're free. For 10 years, I worked with this definition. What do I want? What do I want? To do what I want every day. Believing that when I was doing what I want, then I would be free. 6 years into this, I quit my job at Goldman Sachs. I thought, now I'll be free. But I learned having time and money wasn't my definition of freedom. An idle mind wasn't free. Going back to Wall Street and doing more work on this, I left to do what I truly love, to write my first book. I was doing what I wanted. I had time. I had money. I had great purpose. But my mind was worse than it had ever been. I'd taken on a job that was too hard for me. And I saw the third definition of freedom. Until you are free in your mind, you will never be free. And we'll pick up on this in the next track when we go deep into the prison of the mind. But for now, I'll say this leads us into the second key framework, the five levels of human thinking. Because this is about freeing your mind. Freeing your mind from the profane to focus on those topics of greatest purpose. Now, as we start talking about these five levels of human thinking, I'll say that when I begin talking about these topics, people say to me, oh, you mean Maslow's pyramid? No. Even all the way up, Maslow's five steps, in my model, are still only basic human needs. We're talking about a structure of thinking that goes way beyond self-actualization to actually evolving yourself beyond these human needs. As we go deeper into it, you'll see the first three levels are about ascending the prisons we've talked about. The prisons of work, financial, and time. And the next two levels of human thinking are about evolving beyond the basic physical body and mind. This is about evolving human thinking. And it's a key framework here in escaping the time prison, because it's about your choice and will to allocate your time to topics of evolved human thinking, going deep into the purpose for being alive. So what are these five levels? Level one, basic human needs, basic human thinking. Level two, making it in the world. Level three, mastering the material world. Level four, exploring the depth of the mind. Level five, living at the level of mind. In level one, you're allocating your time to basic human needs. Sadly, This is the plight of billions of people on our planet who still need to think about food, water, shelter. And as long as you're focused on satisfying basic human needs, just like Maslow's pyramid, it's much harder for you to allocate time to higher levels of thinking. The second level of human thinking is making it in the material world. This is really the realm of WMT. Your life is spent running around, making your money, working, using your time just to get by. And as long as your time is consumed in this, it's much harder for you to allocate time to higher level thinking. And this is why so much of this program is about breaking yourself free of the work, financial, and time prisons, so that you can truly unlock the keys to great purpose in this lifetime. Level 3 is mastering the material world. At this level of human thinking, you've evolved to the point where you're so lucky, you're a small percent of the human population that's freed yourself from WMT. If you choose, you no longer have to sell your time for money. You no longer have to work. And at this level, you get to choose your work. Instead of doing things that are mostly useless, you can choose, like Bill Gates, to do work of great meaning and purpose to the world. And instead of, like Warren Buffett, with all the money in the world, still seemingly stuck living at WMT, trying to satisfy some sort of meaning to having more money. At level 3, when you've mastered the material world, you have much more chance to allocate your time to higher value topics, to truly contemplating topics of deep purpose, of deep meaning. And this is level 4. At level 4, you kick open the door to the realm of the mind. You see, this life isn't at all about the physical. It's about what's going on in that head of yours, how you create and process reality, what meaning you make, and what you make all this to mean. Now here, this is where the chart doesn't go straight up. At level 1, you might kick open the door to the mind. This is what many people in countries like India have done. They still might be satisfying basic needs, but they've made it an important part of their life to contemplate the role of mind and turning themselves into a life of great purpose. So you don't need to master the material world in order to kick open this door. And indeed, many people who've mastered the material world will stop there. They'll think they've won in life. And in many ways they have. But in this context, what they've won is an ability to allocate their time to topics of much greater purpose and meaning. And at level 4, you contemplate life at a deeper level. You explore the realms of the mind that so many people in the Western world will never even perceive. Too busy, distracted by the latest fillers in the Kardashians, or what the celebrities are wearing on TV. We have zero time, as long as we're sucked into the distractions of our world, drinking away our woes, or putting all of our time into the WMT, to go deeper into the realm of the mind, to discover our deeper purpose, our destiny, and to explore the true nature of reality. Level 5. You live here. At level 5, you still live in the material world. You might be a 1, 2, or a 3. Yet, you don't take it seriously. You see the sewers of time. That's thinking mind. And you know that thinking mind is just operating irrespective of you. Like your stomach that's processing food. That thinking mind is processing information. It's not you. You use that machine, but you know you're not it. The feeling body is the same thing. You can watch the sensations. You can love experiencing being born into this meat machine. But you think on a level beyond it. You don't weigh your life by the feelings in the body and the thoughts in the head. You see the distractions of our world for what they are. Machines to pull in other machines. You see the WMT as deep purpose. It's finding deep meaning. Allocating time and money. Your hours of work. To topics of great purpose. To what truly matters. Elevated beyond the profane levels of 1, 2, and 3. On a mission. Beyond the basic. Having evolved to truly be living your purpose. To be living your destiny. I don't share this with you. Like I've achieved level 5. I won't tell you where I perceive myself to be. But it's certainly not at level 5. I share this with you because this is a path of human thinking that I aspire to. To shift as much of my time and thinking and energy to topics of great purpose and great meaning. Serving a mission for humanity. And I can't tell you if this is deeper meaning or deeper purpose for any of us, for all of us. I can't tell you where these ideas came from, or if I'm right or completely wrong. I can only tell you this is a model that's come to me over the years for elevating the way that we use our time in this lifetime to beyond the basics. To evolving our thinking. To evolve. To shifting our time to our greatest purpose in life. I can't know if this is right. I can only know if it's right for me. And I leave it to you to decide what is the right use of time for you. And with this, we're through level 3 in this track. We've gone deep. Into these higher levels of thinking. We covered the sewers and the keys to unlocking yourself from the time prison. And in level 1, the practical stuff, the basics, the fundamentals of how you allocate your time. I encourage you to, at the end of this program, go through track 7 on the system for unleashing your time. Now, as we finish up this track, I want to leave you with 2 exercises, of which this is one. And I was being literal in this regard. One of the exercises is to listen to the system for unleashing your time. And not just listen to it, but really work your way through it. This might not be the right system for you, but what I've endeavored to do in track 7 is lay out the fundamentals and a highly systematic approach to unleashing your time. It's very simple, yet it contains the most powerful principles I've discovered and a way of actually doing it for yourself. And you'll see a structure in the workbook that you can work through to build an output and a system for unleashing your own time. And I can't emphasize enough that there's been a lot of ideas in this track, yet What matters most is how specifically do you take these ideas and get them working for you. And as I said, we started on the basics, on the fundamentals in level one. And if you can really nail this, really hone in on what matters and how you put your time to what matters every day, you've taken a huge leap in escaping the time prison, aligning your time with your highest priorities. Exercise two is to work your way back through this track and to identify in here what you want to be spending your time on. I suggest going deeper into the sewer traps of level two. Where do you get stuck? In the thinking mind, in the feeling body, in distractions, in keeping yourself so busy that you don't get enough time to focus on what truly matters. And identifying for yourself, what might you change here? And you see space in the workbook for laying this out as well. I would also go into level three and think about what I said in there. You might think it's total bullshit, and that's all good. Or you might see there's some ideas in there that are valuable for you. That if you've created more space in your life, more freedom, how can you put more time into focusing on higher level topics and topics of purpose in your life? And what else might you focus on here? If you were to work your way back through this track, what other ideas might you note for yourself in order to keep developing your skills on time, creating more freedom for yourself, swimming through the sewers, escaping the time prison, navigating the sewer traps, getting more and more free? Now, this brings us to the end of this track four, Escaping the Time Prison. And I hope you're already feeling more free. And as you do the exercises, you get more and more free. I hope you got a lot of value from this track. And I look forward to catching up with you on the next track, where we go deep into the prison we've been building up all along, the prison for the mind.